Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's IMI PLC Interim Management Statement conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by the question and answer session. At which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, 9th of November 2017. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mark Selway. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Nadia, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedules to talk with us today. I have with me Dan Shook, Roy Twite, Massimo Grassi, and Peter Spence is travelling, but he does join us on the phone. I hope you've had a chance to read through the IMS statement today. I don't propose to read it out verbatim, but I will cover off a couple of highlights and then we'll be happy to take your questions. Overall, our key messages are that trading is good in precision, it's stable in hydronic, but still pretty tough in terms of critical engineering. And most importantly, our strategy remains absolutely on track. Conditions have been pretty positive in the third quarter, revenues increasing 11% when compared to the third quarter of 2017, and that included a year-to-date currency tailwind of about 8%. And I'm pleased to say that the group's outlook expectations, which were set at the half-year results, have now moved to the positive, which now puts us a wee bit ahead of consensus, and which for avoidance of doubt we read at 64.2p for the full year. Most importantly, I'm delighted to report that the strategic plan is absolutely on track and continuing to make a real difference in our competitive positioning. We've got momentum in our operational improvements and the new product line is continuing to build in all three of our divisions. In critical, sector prospects still remain quite mixed, but we're still 4% like-for-like order input growth in the year-to-date, and that reflects the continued benefits of our value engineering program and, of course, the order successes in Petrochem that we saw in the first half of this year. And that will make next year's first half order input comparators more difficult, obviously. Oil and gas and power markets still remain quite uncertain, but the full year will see revenues down a wee bit on 2016, but with margins a bit up above last year. Cost reductions are coming through. That and order phasing will still mean that in the second half, we'll deliver improvement on the first half of the year, and that increased profit expectations will flow into 2018. Roy's restructuring program continues to deliver ahead of our plans, and he recently announced the last of his plant rationalizations, with the potential closure of our operation in Belgium at a cost of about $15 million. In precision, revenue saw a continuation of the improvement that we've seen in the first half of this year. And in the third quarter, we're like-for-like 9% higher than the same period last year. I do point out that last year's comparator was rather weak. Industrial automation was strong in all three regions and finished up 11% when compared to the relatively soft conditions in the third quarter of last year. Commercial vehicle production continued to be stronger than expected in both North America and also in Europe, and that helped mitigate some of the contract completion issues we flagged in our earlier announcements. On the full year, we're likely to be a bit stronger than we'd flagged at the half year, and margins are expected to be ahead of last year, even when you include the $4 million property benefit, which was in last year's result and was not expected to recur this year. In hydronics, revenues are 4% like-for-like higher than the third quarter of 2016. And with our new products and the stronger performance in Asia contributing to top-line growth in the full year. So in conclusion, I'm very pleased to confirm some good momentum since we last spoke to you late in July. And that makes us confident that we can deliver a little better result than the market expectations for the full year. And with that, I'll now be delighted to take your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. The first question comes from the line of Matthew Spurr. Please ask your question.
Yeah, morning, everyone. I had a couple of questions. So the first one was on the order book in critical. So the right in remembering, so H1, we said the margin in the order book was down 1.7 percentage points. Now, in one quarter, which looks like it's a reasonably small quarter down orders this year and last year, and now that's gone to flat now. So could you give us a bit more color on how that's moved so quickly in one quarter, whether it's to do with deliveries or whether it's just to do with the mix of the order intake?
Yeah, morning, Matthew. It's Roy. Yeah, of course, it's, you know, the order book, as you know, is quite complex. It's a mixture of all of those things. It's a mixture of what we've shipped and what we've booked. And it's also a comparator to last year, Matthew. So, you know, you've got to look year on year as well. But, you know, the good news is that the margin in the order book has improved versus last year. So it is the same as last year now, as it was 1.7% down at the half year. And it has actually improved from the half year as well. Part of that is obviously the cost reduction. And part of that is the mix, in that we've now got more aftermarket in the order book. And the aftermarket's actually at better margins than it was at the half year. So, yeah, some positives in there. I still expect it to move around a bit, Matthew, you know, but at least as we sort of point towards next year, that's obviously a better position than we were in at the half year.
Okay, and then can I have one on precision as well, please? The what sort of there's some nice growth in Q3. What sort of drop-through are you seeing in that? Because got IA growing, you've got some of the sort of niche segments perhaps not growing as fast as IA, you've got CV growing as well, so I guess there's a little bit of mix to consider there as well, please.
Yeah, good morning, Matthew. In Q3 we had, I would say, a good drop-through, which is we usually expect a precision, which is around 35%, so we are quite glad that we are capturing and leveraging the improved market condition, and we have a good impact to the bottom line.
All right, thanks very much, everyone.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mark Davis-Jones. Please ask your question.
Thank you very much. Good morning, all. Just an obvious one, really, on what has changed on the margin outlook within Hydronic, the guidance of slightly lower margins year-on-year in the second half. Obviously, there's investment in new products, but I would imagine that was anticipated. Has anything changed in mix or in your volume expectations to reduce that margin guidance?
Yeah, look, it's down just a weeny bit, Mark, so don't let me overplay it under any circumstance. We're a bit disappointed. We obviously have seen material price increases, you know, coming through. There are price increases that we've put through the system that are starting to recover that, and that's got some momentum as we come into the final quarter of the year. We have been, as you're aware, putting our new JD Edwards ERP system across all the sales companies. That had a bit of an impact in the quarter. There were some express freight that had to go through as a consequence of that work. It's not massive. Again, you know, our view is you're starting to see the revenue line move. New products are starting to have an impact in this business. I'd like to see more coming through in terms of the drop through.
Fair enough. And since we have Roy there, can I ask a quick question on critical? You've said some encouraging things on the margin outlook for 18, but just trying to get a sense of where the volume trends are going. Obviously, it's a weak order quarter this quarter, but we don't read too much into a brief period like that, but the moving parts of that going into next year, you know, there are some very negative noises coming up around the power market. Siemens again today saying some rather bleak things. Are you seeing any further deterioration there? And equally, are you seeing any bottoming in markets like LNG, perhaps a little sooner than anticipated, because trends there seem to be getting a little bit stronger?
Yeah, good question, Mark. Yeah, I mean, Mark, power is tough. You know, I've seen the stuff from Siemens and the overall power stats, and I think the global power market is down 23% year-to-date in terms of the market itself. Our power new construction year-to-date is down 17%, so yes, it is tough, and China, I think, has got worse. I think that's right. I think the good news is that we've won projects in Petrochem, as you know, some big projects at the beginning of this year. We're at 4% order growth year-to-date. I said since the beginning of the year, you know, when sort of the first quarter and we were way up, I said, guys, you know, we'll do well this year, to hold order intake above last year. I still feel that, and I still feel that, you know, next year, you know, we'll do well. We'll eke out, you know, a little bit of growth, and I mean a little bit. I mean sort of, you know, 1% or 2%, that sort of number, Mark. That's where my head is at the moment.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Alexander Virgo. Please ask your question.
Thanks very much. Morning, gentlemen. Just a quick one. I wonder if we could stick with Roy, and if you could talk about the momentum you've had on your value engineering projects, because it looks like you've delivered about $100 million in year to date, which I think was probably a bit ahead, or at least is that in line with what you targeted for the full year? So what are the prospects for the balance of the year? And maybe you could talk a little bit about what you need to do, as you've done this time last year, talk about what you need to get in terms of December, I suppose it ends up being, but just sort of closing out the year, what's the gap that we need to be picking up?
Good questions, Alex, and good morning to you. Yeah, I mean, on value engineering, I'm really pleased because as we presented in Fradley at our Investor Day, you know, and you saw David Powell-Whitman, who's really helping me spearhead that project, it's really caught fire across the division. And you know, I thought when we put the £100 million target in for the full year, it was going to be a stretch. That was actually our internal policy deployment target at the time, and as you said, we've now achieved that after 9 months, and you know, we will push hard for the rest of the year. Obviously, it does of course depend on the big projects that are out there to win, and as you know, Alex, there haven't been that many, and every competitor has been chasing them, and I'm happy our win rates have been, you know, very high year to date on the back of that, and the markets haven't helped us, but I've been happy with what we've won. In terms of closing out the year, yes, we've still got a big December, not quite as big as last year. In fact, our book to ship now is about £8 million lower than it was at the end of the third quarter last year. But we're still very much subject to, you know, customers not coming in for those final inspections, Alex. So I think, you know, where we put guidance is a very sensible place, given, you know, what's happening in the markets at the moment.
Okay, thanks. And then maybe one for Precision and Massimo. Can you talk a little bit about the progress and traction you've made with the product launches at Hanover, and how much that may have or may not have contributed to the strong growth, or are we just looking at a big pickup in underlying demand?
Yeah, good morning, Alex. So we're quite pleased on where we are with the launch of new products. To answer first the second part of your question, contribution on new product is marginal so far because we presented the product at Hanover in April, and so we are now really taking over with the new product. So contribution is marginal, but we are very pleased, for example, with Isoline, which is the new actuator, which is one of our major product family. We have a conversion rate that exceeded 50%. So we are selling now more than half of the new product, and we are replacing progressively the old one. So we are quite pleased, but still the impact is marginal on our results.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of David Larkham. Please ask your question.
A couple, please. First of all, on critical, the site closure you're talking about, when will that take effect? I mean, it takes a long time to do these sort of things in Europe. Is this a 2019 benefit? And then in Precision, can you just talk a little bit, maybe sequentially? Obviously, the big growth we've seen in the quarter was against a weak comp, as you said, I think -3 or something last year. So sort of give us a feel sequentially.
Yeah, thanks, David. It's Roy here. I'll take the one on critical. So David, I think when we saw you at the half year and even at Fradley, actually, we managed to consolidate or sell 12 plants. We actually sold off a small business stainless steel fasteners, which was non-core, in the last couple of months. And literally in the last few weeks, we've announced this closure of Belgium. As you quite rightly say, it's a £15 million cost. It's going to be a 2 to 3 year payback. As you know, we've been actually getting ahead of those plans recently, but we will get most of that benefit into 2018, along with some of the carryover benefit from this year on some of the projects that we've done this year. And if you look at what we've managed to do this year, I think we have going to spend about £28 million on rationalisation, and then the total benefits hitting the P&L this year will be about £20 million into the operating profit. Clearly, some of that comes from projects from last year, David, but that gives you the overall sort of frame of it.
So that sounds, there should be another sort of £5 million or plus next year with the site closure.
From Belgium?
Yeah, or in totality.
Yeah, if you take the 2 to 3, you pay back on the £15 million, you're in the right sort of area, yeah.
And David, I think in terms of the precision third quarter, just to square that off, we did see a very, very good third quarter in industrial automation this time around. The fourth quarter, you remember last year, was quite strong. So that was really the start of the recovery. So we're still seeing some lumpiness in our order book, by the way, guys. You know, we see from week to week quite a bit of variability, you know, particularly in North America. But it is starting to crystallize into an improved momentum that we can track. And I'd be disappointed if we didn't see the final quarter come in at maybe plus five on industrial automation. But as I said, it's still quite variable week to week. We are seeing a lot of variation in the order book and the orders being placed from stockers particularly.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Robert Davis. Please ask your question.
Yes, morning. Two questions from me. One was on the critical business. Just, I noticed some of the U.S. peers on the valve side tend to give slightly more positive outlooks, I guess, particularly for some of the more shorter cycle or sort of small or mid-sized kind of projects relative to some of the larger ones. Are you seeing a similar trend there? I guess, is there any differentiation between the kind of large and medium-sized projects? And then the second one was just on the commercial vehicles outlook. What is driving that underlying kind of improvement, and what is your expectations for heading into next year? Because I know you have those, this year you have a kind of contract roll-off and then another one into 18. Has there been any update or any changes or additions to those? Thanks.
So, Robert, it's Roy. Just so I'm completely clear, are you talking about power new construction with the US peers?
Well, there was pretty broad, I mean, guys from like Crane and Circor and some of the other U.S. peers had called out some of the more mid and small-sized projects activity picking up. It wasn't specifically in power. It was kind of more in the sort of oil and gas segment. I just wondered if you'd seen similar trends there.
I'd say in power, yeah, there's less, well, let's put it this way, there's less of the big projects in power, less of the sort of gigawatt projects that were happening in China, you know, that slowed right down, particularly obviously coal power. So I would say yes, if you look at it that way, then the mix is moved to sort of smaller, medium-sized projects in power for sure. I think on LNG, you know, so really new construction LNG, very important for us. I think, as I said really at the beginning, it's you know, there's sort of we're working hard in the market on quotations on the engineering work, but the projects are not determinedly moving forward yet. So, you know, what we're hoping, as I sort of pointed out at Bradley, is that we're going to start to see orders more in 2019. We are working on some now, Robert, but, you know, I still think that they won't, you know, come to us quickly in the LNG market. So that's the way I see it at the moment.
Good morning, Robert.
So CV has been quite a pleasant surprise this year, because you may remember about 1 year ago when we were building the budget for 17, we were expecting a market quite negative in North America by about 10%, and also in Europe we were expecting a negative trend about -4% to -6%. As a matter of fact, today we are experiencing a positive market in both regions, and for 17, we expect a growth of about 9% of the market, and in Europe, of about 3%. So, much better than expected. And you may remember that we have anticipated about 30 million of contracts coming to an end. And actually, the 30 million would rather be 14. So, we had an acceleration of this phase out. But all in all, we are very, very pleased with our performances in CV, which is, let me say, the result of a favorable market. Looking at next year, we are quite positive, both for North America and for Europe. But when you look at also what other players are considering for next year, there is a huge range of estimation with kind of 800 basic points of difference between one and the other, the two extreme in North America. We are talking about probably 1,000 basic points difference for Europe. So certainly a market which is still very volatile, but for the moment we are very, very pleased of what we are experiencing both in America and in Europe. I can anticipate that this this contract coming to an end, that again this year will impact us by 14 million reduced sales, will be reduced to about 10 million in 2018.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Michael Block. Please ask your question.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, can I ask about the implication for phasing of revenue in 2018 from the shape of your order book?
So, in terms of... Michael. So are you asking about first half, second half splits in terms of revenue?
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, Michael, goodness me, you're, as usual, you're well ahead. I mean, we literally sort of pulling the budgets together at the moment. They're certainly not being presented to the board yet or anything like that. So in terms of that level of detail, I would say that the first half of next year is probably going to be okay in terms of sales. Clearly, it'll be down in terms of orders, Michael, because of those big Caterpillar orders we've got. You know, it could be as much as sort of 15% down in the first half in terms of orders. But yeah, sales I would have thought would be slightly ahead in the first half of next year if I just look at how the order books played out this year because of those large orders we got in the first half.
Yep.
And you know, an overall shape of next year will be, as I said, you know, maybe 1-2% growth, Michael.
Okay. Thanks. The second question, I mean, I don't track the weather in Germany, but it sounds to me as though what you've achieved in Hydronic, even if it's disappointing in terms of margin, you've had no real benefit from, you know, a colder snap than last year or anything like that.
No, I think that's right, Michael. I promised I wasn't going to say anything about the weather on this call, but, you know, fact of the matter is we are reliant in this last quarter on it being cold. Mm-hmm. We're not expecting it's going to be any warmer this year than it was last year, so net, we're not factoring there's going to be a lot of progress in terms of cold snap, but we're not expecting it's going to be dramatically the other way either.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much. I did have another question, but I've forgotten it, so I'll come back in later. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for a name to be announced. The next question comes from the line of Jonathan Hearn. Please ask your question.
Hi guys, good morning. Just two questions for me, please. Just firstly on precision and automation in particular. Obviously, you talk about growth regionally in Q3. I wonder if you can just give us a little bit more detail on the growth rates by region and if you saw a pickup in Norgren Express coming through in the quarter. That was the first question.
Yeah, good morning, Jonathan. As Mark already mentioned, we are growing at 11% for the division. And we're growing in all regions. So in Asia, we have 23% growth, mainly driven by excellent results in China. So we are very pleased. In Americas, we are growing at 11%, which we believe being a bit higher than the market. And in Europe, we are growing at 7%. So quite healthy growth across the different regions. But again, please remember that Q3 last year was quite soft. So these numbers are very good, but the comparative to last year is quite easy. And then your second part of the question was about Norgren Express. Norgren Express, we are pleased. We had a bit, bumpy beginning of the year for different reasons, mainly because of the United States. But we are now very pleased of our results and the contribution of our Norgren Express app, even if very difficult to measure directly because we can't track sales realized through the Noggin Express app, but the feedback we are receiving everywhere we have launched the application is are extremely positive. So we are in a decent position, actually in a very good position with our Noggin Express business.
Great, thank you. And the second question was just coming back to critical. Sorry if I've missed this, but just in terms of the strength in the aftermarket, can you just give us some color on the segments, Roy, where the strength of the aftermarket was, please?
Yes, John, no problem, Jonathan. Yeah. So if you look at this is the year-to-date, Jonathan. Yeah. So if I look at the year-to-date, LNG is the big upside. So LNG year-to-date, we've done £22 million versus £8 million last year. So that's that LNG install base really coming through this year. Power's flat, Jonathan, at £104 million versus last year, which I don't think is too bad given what's happened to maintenance budgets in power, obviously under a lot of pressure. Nuclear's up from £25 million last year to £32 million this year, and that really is around, we got sort of a large order from Europe. If you remember, you know, the Europeans in particular have been holding off ordering nuclear spares really for the last couple of years. Well, that's come through, but that won't repeat next year. And then the rest is sort of a bit up and a bit down, really, Jonathan.
Great, thank you. And just maybe just for one quick follow-up, just coming back to that sort of order rate, win rate. I think last time we heard from you, it was 65% going through the first half. I mean, has that maintained at that level, or has it been a slight decline from there, please?
Yeah, it's you know, as I said, winning 65% is exceptional, you know, in terms of those market shares. It's closer to 60% now, Jonathan, you know, which I think if we could hold it at something like that without giving too much money away in terms of margins, then that's, you know, that's still going to be a very strong result, obviously. And as you can see, you know, the margins in the order, but coming back a bit, and as I said, part of that is mix, but we're working really hard now using value engineering and holding on to what price we can to start to improve the margins, start getting them ticking up again.
Great. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Edward Marawanika. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Mark. Just a quick one on precision. What's the quantum of margin improvement in precision that you expect overall second half year-on-year in light of the strong revenue growth?
Oh, look, it's a bit early to be absolute, I've got to be honest, Edward. You know, we've had a good drop through in terms of Q3. As I said, we do see some variability in the order taking week to week, and whether it's in the aftermarket through our Norgren Express or whether it's through CV, those things have a big impact on margins. So, look, all we can really identify is that we're expecting in the full year margins to be stronger than last year, despite the fact that we're not going to see the $4 million of property benefit this year that we had in the numbers last year. So I think that's about the best take I can give you with a quarter of hard work left to go.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks, Edward.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ryan Gregory. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got two, please, both on precision. The first one, the utilization rate, I think you targeted 65% by year-end. Presumably you're above that now, so just wondering where you think you might be at year-end, and also if demand continues to be as strong as it has been, where you think you might be in the first half of next year. That's the first question. Then second one on pricing. Have you been able to offset the headwinds you've seen from raw materials, or maybe even take a little bit of margin yourself, given the very strong demand you're seeing? Thank you.
Look, if I could take the second one in terms of pricing, I mean, it's an issue across the board. They have seen commodity movements. I'm pleased to say that we are able to recover genuine, legitimate economic increases. There's not a lot of elasticity in the market, however. It's very difficult to overachieve at this point in the cycle. And both Massimo and Peter, you know, have been working on the inflation equation, and we feel we're in pretty good shape as we come to the back end of this year. I think in terms of utilization, Massimo, you know, we're at 66% is really what we talked to when we were at Fradley. Yeah. You know, that's going to improve as we insource some of the things. And, you know, our expectation second half of next year, you should be at 70%-ish,
yeah,
depending on where it is in the world, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. And so coming from about 50% when we started the program, we ended September with 66% of utilization. So we are in line with our expectations and our target. So we are very pleased on where we are with this work stream of our Janus program. And then I think, Ryan, you had the second part of the first question, which was?
Just looking sort of first half 2018, where do you think utilization rates could get to?
Mark, I mean, we are targeting 75% is, we'll be really in good shape, and this is what we are targeting for end of next year.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jack O'Brien. Please ask your question.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking the questions. Just the first one on how you're thinking about free cash flow conversion for the full year, and perhaps just a reminder of what we should be expecting for exceptional restructuring costs. I've got $35 million in for the year, but obviously that's pre the Belgium news, so just an update there would be useful. And then I guess secondly, and a slightly more cheeky one, but and perhaps given many have been asked already, but just the latest on M&A and how what you're seeing there and if there are any interesting opportunities you're working on. Thank you.
Jack, let me take the M&A one first. Look, we are working on you know, they tend to be privately owned businesses that are smaller in scale or private equity owned. It's always a bit of a roll of the dice as to when they become available. But look, we've got in each of the divisions some really well-defined targets. We're working hard as an executive and the chair and myself to make sure that we build those relationships and bring them to the table. It is a roll of the dice as to when that will take place. We have to be careful. There's high multiples being paid for all assets at the moment, and we've got to make sure that we're targeting those with the best synergy. So, look, lots on our plate. I'd be disappointed if we didn't see something, you know, at some point in the relative future, but, you know, it's a bit of a roll of the dice, and we won't overpay when we do it. So I think that's it on acquisitions, Jack. Lots of work, lots of ambition. We've got to wait and see the right one come across the table.
Yep. Yeah, hey, Jack, Dan. It's on exceptionals, you're right. We did flag 35 at the half year. We actually were anticipating we were headed towards the Roy's plant closure. So that number does include the anticipated cost that we'll incur this year as we go through that process. So that number's still a good number for 2017. On cash, you know, absolutely with the growth on the top line in Pete and Massimo's area, there will be some need for a bit of working capital, but the efficiencies that we have been getting, we're expecting to continue. So from those days metrics, we're looking for both those divisions to come show some improvement. So I think free cash flow should be still pretty solid for the year.
It is fair to say, Jack, that we're building up some inventory. You know, we are seeing some strength in some geographies, particularly North America, in industrial automation. And, you know, Massimo's going to build up some inventory to make sure that he can service that market. But as Dan said, we've got good momentum in terms of the improvement program across working capital.
Yep.
So there'll be a balance offset, I expect.
Yep.
Great, thanks. And perhaps just one final question on Hydronic. Obviously, plenty of new product launches coming through, but organic growth still sort of stuck in the low single digits. You know, do you think we can expect in 2018, given the relatively benign backdrop, sort of mid-single digit growth? How are you thinking about that?
Oh, I'd love to see that. You know, I think, quite honestly, we've got some great new products. We're picking up some market share. There is some toughness out in the market. You know, competitors are pricing reasonably aggressively. You know, we would have hoped that growth this year was a bit stronger, and we would certainly hope that we're going to be a wee bit stronger going into 2018. But look, I think if you factored that we'd do another year in 2018, you know, of where we are this year, with an expectation that we're working hard to do better than that, I think that's the right place to be at this point.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for a name to be announced. The next question comes from the line of Sandeep Gandhi. Please ask your question.
Morning, everyone, and thanks for taking my question. So just on precision, so given the improving end market momentum, can you just give us an update on what this means for Project Janus Phase 2 and the rationalization of the manufacturing footprint? I guess, you know, with the added volume coming through, is it now less likely we'll have closures there?
Well, Sandeep, let me take that first up, and I'll hand over to Massimo and put some meat on the bones. But we'd always said that Phase 2 was really about, you know, if the market didn't show much momentum. Massimo was able to announce when people visited at Fradley that we've been successful at another major CV contract. You know, they won't hit the revenue line until 2020-ish, but, you know, that's quite significant, and it does help utilisation of our higher-cost plants. So that's been a helpful thing. Obviously, the industrial automation market's moving forward pretty well, and we've seen more progress in commercial vehicles, you know, both North America and also in Europe. So there is a second phase, which is more about the efficiencies of manufacturing and supply chain. That phase is being worked through at the moment, and Massimo, maybe you could put some more meat on that.
Yeah, phase one is really progressing well. We are delivering what we expected, and we are very pleased with the different workflow, like insourcing, like localization. So this is continuing and will continue also for the first part of 2018. Phase two of Janus, as Mark already mentioned, would rather be, if the market continued to be favorable, focus on improving our efficiency, looking at SG&A, looking at our processes in terms of supply chain and S&OP. So this will rather be our focus for the second phase of Janus if the market conditions remain favorable.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Michael Block. Please ask your question.
Yes, good morning. The question I'd forgotten about was just asking Roy, please, on the admittedly long lead items in offshore oil and gas, are you seeing any change there? We're hearing from some other places that perhaps there's a little bit of positive development.
Yeah, Michael, you say offshore oil and gas, because we don't have that much in offshore oil and gas. It's not, you know, it's not like LNG or new construction power. So I've read the press, you know, in the same way that you guys have, and I, you know, it's very early days. Clearly, the oil price is up a bit. Whether that's sustained, you know, will be interesting. If it is sustained, then obviously there's some projects on the sidelines that I think will eventually start to move forward again, Michael. So I think probably versus 6 months. You know, things look a little bit better. And personally, for us, the biggest needle mover is these LNG projects, and I'm hoping that one or two of these does actually, you know, move forward.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for a name to be announced.
So I think, Natalie, with that, we've taken all the questions that have been asked. So thank you most kindly for being on the line. Just in summarising, trading's good in precision. We're very stable in hydronic and still reasonably tough in critical. But we have, you know, moved our expectations into the positive area. And, you know, we're quite pleased with what we've got in front of us for the final quarter of this year. So thank you very much for calling in. And with that, we'll wrap it up. Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect. Have a nice day. Dear speaker, please stand by.